Bishop Sycamore told us they had a number of Division I prospects on their roster. To be frank, a lot of that we could not verify. And
correct.
They did not show up in our database. They did not show up in the databases of other recruiting services. So it's okay. If that's what you're telling us, fine. That's how we take it in. From what we've seen so far, this is not a fair fight. And there's got to be a point now, Luke, where you do worry about health and safety.
I already am worried about it.
You are now listening to the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. Here are your hosts, Deontay Epps and Dane Beasley.
Hello and welcome to episode 5959 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. My name is Deontay Epps, joined by my guy, my ace, my best friend, Dane Beasley. Dane, how are you doing, brother?
Back at it again, no pun intended. What's up, fellas?
Dane, we are in episode 59, one episode away from 60, man, and we're going to get into what is probably one of the craziest stories that we have heard in I don't know how long, probably going to be a 30 for 30 at some point, probably going to, you know, be a part of the internet memes and internet jokes for a long, long time. And if you're listening to this podcast, you were probably have heard about this. If not, you were living under a rock. I don't even know where to start with this story. We decided, Dane and I decided that we were going to try to go at different angles. Yeah, go ahead, bro.
The best place to start is at the end. And by the end, I mean Bishop Moore. I try to mix them together. Bishop Sycamore's head football coach, was recently fired over the weekend after a devastating loss to the IMG Academy out of Florida. Back to you, Deontay.
Well,
start at the end and then work our way back to the
Dane started us out at the end. And if you're wondering who is Bishop Sycamore, let's just say it's a BS school, no pun intended with the initials of BS, which I know is part of a lot of jokes, but it's so ironic that this school has those initials because the story we're about to tell you and the different breakdowns and angles that you could come from with this particular story is something that you see in like a movie slash a funny TV show, Blue Mountain State. If you watch that show, this is that on like another level.
Steroids.
So on Sunday, the game was on Sunday. You know how at beginning of the season, there are always these high school matchups that are on ESPN featuring the top high schools and the top prospects. And, you know, we're not a stranger to IMG Academy. A lot of the top prospects leave their regular high school to go to this top academy school where they play the top teams in the nation to garner attention from the schools, prospects, all that kind of thing. So IMG Academy, you're looking on the TV. I know I looked on the screen. I was like, okay, IMG Academy's playing another school. You know, nothing unusual here. And
right.
And then you kind of look at the score and what's going on, and you're like, wow, this team
another
is
victim.
this team is really getting stomped by IMG Academy. You're just thinking, man, IMG Academy is, you know, running through another school, like always, like you said, Dane. And it didn't really catch on until the next day on Monday when questions started coming about the team that IMG Academy played, which we mentioned was Bishop Sycamore. And, you know, there were reports coming out that, you know, the team was not really a high school and full of former JUCO guys past their prime in high school or past, you know, their high school playing days. And you kind of started wondering, like, is this real? Like, are people making this stuff up because they just got beat so bad? And that's when it just gets crazier and crazier, Dane. This particular Twitter page that kind of was a huge thread. You know, you had the big outlets like Complex. You had The Athletic. And I will say, you know, I'll mention a couple of articles and stuff from them. But what really got me up to speed on everything, Dane, was this particular Twitter account called Urinating Tree, at Urinating Tree, which I really don't know. They have 72,000 followers, but I'm guessing it's like a really one of funny sports blog outlets. But they have a huge thread on kind of what, like, if you want to find out what is going on in like a short time span, go to this Twitter this, account.
This is for my literature, my literature unenthused folks. This is your spark notes for sports
thank
media.
You,
you go to that Twitter account and you can get the rundown of the entire shenanigan, or you can get the audio version and listen to this podcast. Deontay, there was a number of times over the weekend that I was tuned in and tapped into high school football clips. One, shameless plug, my cousin plays for Harker Heights High School. DB got an interception.
He got a pick over the weekend.
He got a pick.
Shout out DeAubrey.
And I got the dub. Shout out to DeAubrey Hood, my cousin. And then, of course, my wife's little brother. He's over at Hightower down there in Fort Bend, and he got a touchdown.
USC commit.
USC. Yep. So Caleb Douglas, shout out to you. But I was just so excited that high school football has been back for some time in terms of scrimmages and two-a-days and all that stuff. But just getting to see some actual gameplay and some clips was great. And then, of course, got to watch our local team that we support here, Duncanville, play against a team from California, which will go nameless. As you can guess it, we lost.
Matter day.
We lost pretty bad, but that's okay. And then like many other people, we're very familiar with the IMG Academy. We one of the guys that qualified for the U.S. trials to get to the Olympic qualifiers. He was in the 100 and 200. He goes to the IMG Academy, 17 years old. So as you can guess it, the IMG Academy is like a pipeline for professional athletes, essentially. But IMG Academy, there's a name associated with it. There is a level of excellence that's associated with it. So anytime you see IMG Academy, you're going to watch a pretty good game, if not a blowout. So I just thought it was, a regular matchup. I seen, the score was like 30-something to zero. And I was okay, IMG Academy, still IMG Academy. And then that's when all hell broke loose, as you see different players on the sideline coming out of the game, or different players going to the sideline from coming out of the game, handing their helmets to their teammate to get into the game. So we're seeing here a sharing of helmets. Now, I'm not going to knock that, because I know a lot of programs everywhere might be underfunded or just, not funded at all. So you got to do what you got to do to get by. They got to grind how they grind. You feel me? So I didn't think anything of it when I seen that clip. And then it just started to get even more bizarre.
Right. Man, there were so many clips. Watching it, because I did actually watch the game live for like a few minutes just because it was football on. Like you mentioned, we're so happy to see football back on TV. And,
absolutely.
any kind of football, you sit there, watch for a few minutes or whatever, depending on and stuff. And you don't notice these things until like the clips start popping up online, like one in particular where the quarterback is like fourth and forever. And you know how they do the quarterback pooch punt. And he punts it right directly into the guy that's coming through. Then the other clip when Bishop Sycamore is literally coming out of the tunnel, and they just look like your made for TV high school, where you know when they film like football shows. Like, for example, we make jokes about the show All American, how they throw funny run routes. Yeah, so like this looks like a made for TV team, the way they like literally came out of the tunnel. But to go back to the Twitter account to kind of give you guys a quick breakdown of what's going on or what happened with this team and why is it blowing up on the internet, from the Urinating Tree Twitter account: so Bishop Sycamore high school story is hilarious, he says. And first thing he says, they get destroyed by IMG, which we had mentioned. Damn. And ESPN and their agencies did no research on BS. He calls them BS, which is funny. The school went 0-6 last year, gave up 227 points, and only scored 42 points in 6 games. They had played a game 2 days before Sunday on Friday, before they play IMG, they played Friday and lost that game as well. They lost. ESPN couldn't verify any of the players when they were scouting the databases. And it's even funnier, Dane, because the announcers even talked about that. Yeah, they talked about that. Let's take a listen.
Bishop Sycamore told us they had a number of Division I prospects on their roster. To be frank, a lot of that we could not verify. And they did not show up in our database. They did not show up in the databases of other recruiting services. So it's okay. If that's what you're telling us, fine. That's how we take it in. From what we've seen so far, this is not a fair fight. And there's got to be a point now, Lutz, where you do worry about health and safety.
I already am worried about it. I think it's
health and safety. They basically going in kind of trying to figure out what's going on. They're as lost as, you know, the people that are probably watching the game. I wasn't watching long enough live to kind of figure it out. Of course, the Twitter detectives are undefeated in this kind of territory.
Undefeated.
So, yeah, man, that's just the tip of the iceberg, right? So we kind of figure out, okay, they don't have a legit roster. What is going on here? And so to go back to this urinating tree Twitter account that's kind of giving the breakdown.
Bro, I can make perfect sense of this. They simply called up their JVA team up at the last second. None of those guys are garnering national attention. That's what happened, bro.
Yeah.
So you got to use y'all's head. Y'all can't just accept everything the media feeds you. Use your head, bro. Take it away, Deontay.
So most of the players were JUCO dropouts age 19 and over. So I think you had tweeted about the embarrassment of not only getting beat by 50 on national television, but getting beat by 50 to high school kids when you're grown men, right?
Yeah. 15 to 16 to 17, 18 year olds. Look, here's the thing. The tweet that I put out was like, shame on those guys for losing, essentially, and shame on ESPN for, you know, falling for that trick, the okie doke. And of course, here comes ESPN up here saying, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's not our responsibility now. We didn't vet this process. I was like, no. You can't. Don't try to throw them underneath the bus.
What's that Drewski meme where he like.
Hey, but that's just me. It's like, hey, we said we was going to put it on TV. We ain't said nothing about making sure it was a legitimate campus with a legitimate program with legitimate athletes and legitimate coaches. We ain't said nothing about that. They saw IMG Academy and said, yes. Yes, like as soon as that little invite came in the mail, and without even reading it, they just see, oh, yes.
Mm-mm. Right.
That just sometimes you gotta look. This might be funny to poke fun of right now, but there's a life lesson in this. Anytime you come across some information, always do your Googles. Do your Googles.
Do you research?
Because if you hit the Google, specifically Google Maps, you would have found that this school was none other than a P.O. box.
Yes. Right. Into my next part of this, Dane. Their address that they use for, first of all, the website for bishopsycamore.org, not .edu, .org, was a blog of some sort, and it had like recruiting 101 on it. The actual address that was listed for Bishop Sycamore was a residential home. That's just the
tip of the iceberg.
We're not even into the more fraudulent part where we learned that the head coach, well, then head coach, he's been fired, as Dave mentioned at the top of the podcast. I think his name is Roy Johnson, something like that. Mm-hmm. He had an active warrant for his arrest because previously he had, you know, done some fraud with this particular program where he used another name for the school. I think they called it COF for Christians of Faith or something like that, where they were,
there's a lot of
they
faith.
Didn't pay money back for, from a church that had helped fund
hotels and stuff and all that, bro.
Yeah, man.
It's just bad. But you know what, man? Aside from all the sketchiness behind this fake, fraudulent, and not existing school or football team, it sucks because I don't know how you get so many of these young guys to commit to your school unless they didn't know. Well, let me not say unless they didn't know. There's no way they didn't know. But a lot of them fresh off the streets or fresh out of JUCO, you know, not having any other options and you preying on their weakness. Some of those from the details from some of those tweets, some of those guys, or even just the expose that some of the former players talked about, like some of those guys were sleeping on the floor, bro. Like, there's a lot of blame that could go around, but at the end of the day, I don't think we should. I mean, me personally, a lot of this should go back to whoever recruited these guys and the coaching staff and whoever is responsible, because somebody could have gotten hurt, bro. Yeah. Somebody could have gotten hurt.
Mentioned,
sorry, didn't mean to kill the mood in the room with that. No, my bad, fellas.
No, because that's another part of it. Like you had mentioned, like, you know, it's one of those things where, of course, at the end of the day, social media is going to get their jokes off. But one thing you had mentioned is the former players that I've seen interview, like in Complex, there were a couple of interviews that were done with, I think there was one initial one with one former player. Then the most recent one I read, like this stuff is still coming out every single hour. It feels like more information, but for the most part, to kind of give a summary of what the players were saying, like you mentioned, Dane, they were sleeping on the floors of hotel rooms. They were lied to as far as, you know, they thought they were coming to go to school. They didn't start school until like 3 months after the season started at some random public library. It just seemed like a scam. And my thing out of this was like, what does the coach get out of it? As far as, I mean, you're getting money from, you know, previously a church, you're getting money, you're writing bouncing checks off to these hotels or whatever. What is the goal, Dane? What do you think his goal was for this program?
I don't know what the end game was here. I'm sure we'll find out in some sort of Netflix centric documentary, more than likely. But somebody's got to answer for all the chaos, if you will, that's been caused by it. And I mean, it starts at the top with the head or former head coach. But I think the end all maybe was just exposure for, I don't know, the coaching staff, because they certainly, this would have caught up if the idea was to get exposure for some of these, you know, JUCO kids or whatever they are. That wouldn't have gotten too far, because once your universities that, you know, would have had some sort of, you know, oh, I kind of like this running back, this guy's kind of quick, let's send somebody over to his parents' house, let's go to the coach to talk to him, let's see if we can get him out on a visit. Somebody would have got caught up. Some of these university officials, they're sharp. These are some of these same guys are solely responsible for going into some of these small known towns and finding the best of talent. So they can turn over, you know, a few stones, if you will. But I don't think the idea, at least from me, my perspective, I don't think this was for exposure of the kids. So I think if any of these coaches come out in interviews and say that, that's a damn lie, in my opinion. But you know, that's just me. Hey, that's just me.
When I think about that, I'm like, bro, what possibly could the coach want? Like, does he want to be IMG, like an IMG academy? But you don't have the caliber players. One, but you're not even doing it right. You're stealing money, stealing these people's or these kids. I mean, I know they're still young, so I'm calling them kids. But yeah. Like stealing their time, one, and what they feel like is something that could be a part of their future, when the foundation of this particular program is like basically how you built it is wrong from the start. Like you won't get any progress working or trying to advance that way. And I think from what I've seen, you know, reading tweets and articles and stuff, it seems like this Roy Johnson guy kind of wanted to make it big in the fact that, hey, maybe we could win a game here and I could get noticed as a coach and get up to a D1 program. I don't know, but I'm like, no, what other goal could you have to scam and scam and scam besides getting notoriety and trying to make it big, man?
I don't know. I think of a guy that preyed on some very, 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 very unfortunate circumstances of some kids that were looking for not only a way out, but just a looking to open another chapter in their book, you know? Because at the end of the day, these guys, regardless of what age they are, they're still athletes. And there's no one way, obviously the goal is, if you're playing on that stage, there's no one way to get to the NFL. We've seen guys go from high school to college to the Canadian Football League. We've seen guys go from high school to college to potentially playing college basketball, then on a reality TV show, and then to a roster. We've seen guys post up outside of entire football stadiums with a sign saying, just give me a shot. There's more than one way to the NFL. And who's to say that these guys probably thought, you know what, this probably was the way for me to go as a player. Not saying the coaches, as a player, this is what these guys could have thought. But it's a shame. I hope this doesn't provide anybody with any additional bright ideas to try to do this, because if so, they're going to not only waste their time, but they're going to waste times of at least 22 other individuals. But
yeah,
it's the crazy thing. The most intriguing thing about this to me was they played IMG Academy last year.
Did you see Marcus Spears had tweeted quote tweeted the quarterback from last year who was like a D lineman?
The big dude? Dude was knocking dudes out, bruh.
Yeah.
He could have killed somebody, man.
Man, let me find Marcus Spears' tweet. But
he could have, that dude could have killed somebody.
Has that thing he says, BMB, big man, something. So he didn't know about the Bishop Sycamore thing yet. And he quote tweeted basically saying, you know, hey, he's on team BMB. This dude's a stud. He D lineman playing quarterback. Then he went back and recanted it and basically said, he said, oh, I just found out like that he was, you know, part of this Bishop Sycamore and how they were old now. And he was like, man, you look 30. I thought that was the funniest 16, sir. Thing, man.
You look 30.
Yeah,
you're at least 30.
Shout out to Marcus Spears, former guest of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast.
Big Swagoo.
Big Swagoo. Check out the episode if you haven't already. But yeah, man, dang, back to this one, bro. It's a crazy story. It has blown up tremendously. And to go back to Aaron Boyd was one of the players that Complex had got a hold of. So I kind of read a couple of quotes from him to kind of talk about what it was like at the program. And one of the things that was quoted was him saying they didn't have housing. All the players found out that they never paid for the hotel. Like, the coaches never paid for the hotel. We were writing them bounce checks. The head coach of Bishop Sycamore wasn't the head coach. He was like an athletic director. He was behind all of it. He was writing bounce checks for everything. Then he said, for that month and a half, we all was sleeping on the floor. We had to go rob Kroger's, Walmart, because that's the only way we could eat. And now that's where it gets tremendously sad, like from a joke.
Depressing,
where like these dudes, and I think I saw a picture, it might have been another article, where it was like it literally looked like slop was fed to them, like stuff that people in prisons probably eat better than that. And that's where it comes back to, like, how has he gotten away with this for so long?
How has at least not one person's parent, like, hemmed this dude up, like, hey, man, like, what the hell are you doing here? Yeah. Like,
is he still a free man like you and I right now? Like,
I don't know. I think the governor of Ohio, I think, is opening some sort of investigation about it. I'm like, man, y'all are about a year too late, bro. Like,
yeah.
There's no way. There is no way. Ain't no way, boy. Ain't no way, boy.
I think I saw a tweet about the somebody said something like, "Oh, the FBI game, FBI on the couch." The meme with Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, he's like, "That's him. That's the coach we've been looking for years, coaching on ESPN." But man, yeah, there is so much more to this story, y'all. If you haven't heard about it already, I'm sure you could just do a quick Google search. Look on Twitter, because there is stuff that goes back a few years about the time when Bishop Sycamore was called COF, and a lot of the same stuff that's happening now happened years ago. And so go check out that story if you can. Bishop Sycamore, crazy story that will one day, most likely be a 30 for 30.
One last thing about my final remarks about this conversation, if you will. So today at work, today is a Wednesday, right? Just a few days after this whole thing hit the fan. My boss, Susie, she's a huge football fan. Texas Longhorn, obviously a hopeless Cowboy fan as well. Of course, one of my other coworkers, Susan, she's not so much a huge football fan. She's a LSU graduate. She watches football maybe once every blue moon. When LSU went to the Natty, you know, a few years back, she was all over that. She was watching football all the time. So essentially, I have one person with a lot of football knowledge and then another coworker with not so much. This was the topic of discussion for about 20 minutes today, Bishop Sycamore. And it's just amazing to me, just, I mean, all jokes aside, just how football can unite us, even if it's not real football, if it's fraudulent football. It's insane how this sport essentially can bring us all together. I said all that to say this. Damn.
I mean, what more can you say? Like, it's just one of those crazy, like, you know, I feel like there's always a time during the year, like maybe once, twice a year, where we get those stories that come out that are just out of this world. And this is probably the top story, like, 2021 by far for sports.
A high school graduate going to a small town high school and saying like, hey, I'm a transfer, I'm displaced because of a, you know, hurricane or something, and they enroll him in school. And it turns out he's like this basketball phenom. And then it turns out that, you know, a few tournaments later, somebody's like, wait a minute, that guy graduated from so-and-so about 3 years ago. It's like, no, he just came here from Hurricane so-and-so. His name is Isaac. And then, boom.
Isaac, 20 years old.
Yeah. Say, I'm a sophomore.
Bro, you remember there was a story a few years ago where the dude had like a fake announcement of commitment announcement where he like,
nobody knew.
Right. He had a California hat and a Stanford, something like that. And like, he was like a 0-star rating and, you know, nobody had ever heard of this dude. It's like one of those stories. But this story is by far the top craziest story of 2021.
Impressive in terms of swindling and doing all that hard work with the come down crumbling like that. So,
Some ideas
should just stay ideas, guys.
Yeah. So, Dane, we finally finished the preseason. NFL preseason is finally complete. My Broncos went 3-0. Means nothing. But
thank
we
you.
Did get some.
Thank you.
You know, after the,
got some
the
good
final
looks.
The final preseason games ended, you know, the week after the preseason games is always cut week. We always see some surprise cuts. Probably the biggest cut that we saw this week was Cam Newton being released by the New England Patriots. What was your first thoughts on that, man?
First, I thought it was because you sent me the text that, you know, from Adam, my boy Adam?
Yeah.
You sent me the text, I thought, oh man, Deontay done got by somebody, one of these troll tweeters with the fake Adam Scheffner and got him.
I'm pretty good about, I always make sure the verification is there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I had to stop doing that because, I was taking advantage of that, sending that to people, you know, giving their hopes up. Like, if I know somebody that's a certain fan of a team, I send them the fake screenshot. And I'm like, oh, man, this is crazy. I'm so excited. And I'm like, all right, bro, I'm so sorry. Like, 2 days later, that was just a joke. I don't know if you know it or not. Like, I've done that so many times. Anyways, when I see that, I was like, ain't no way that's real. Ain't no way. Ain't no way, boy. But it was real. So I was like, maybe not starting material for the Patriots, but possibly backup material for a certain Cowboys team. So I'm open to the idea. And then I was like, oh, yeah, that ain't going to happen. One, Jerry Jones, and as much as he loves the cameras, the attention, that man has been dead serious about his players being vaccinated. Like, that fool has been I did not – in the turn that none of us seen coming, like, that boy was pro-vac, like he, and obviously, you know, it might just have something to do with the green, you know, the dollar bill. He could care less about the health of his players. That's what some people could say. But at the end of the day, you can't say the man isn't doing his part. So my first thought was like, well, Cam's not vaccinated. So he probably won't even, that probably not going to happen because the situation, God forbid, let's say he does sign with the team. And of course, quarterbacks are close-knit. More than any other position group, they're close-knit. Always hanging out with each other, sitting next to each other in QB rooms, stuff like that. Even if, based on these protocols that we have for this year, even if you don't test positive for COVID-19, some organizations will put you on the COVID reserve list because you've for contact tracing. And in this sense, he's not only going to be affected or responsible for infecting or possibly coming in contact with Dak, but other people on the team. So who's to say that he's unvaccinated, doesn't have COVID, comes into contact with somebody who does, and just by the process of, hey, we're going to protect our roster, all 16 of y'all boys got to be on the list. So
right.
I don't think they'll take that risk. Obviously, it would be pretty cool.
And y'all signed Will Greer today at quarterback.
Yeah, I was like, well, okay.
Interesting. All right, what's the Russell Westbrook? Well, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, man. So, yeah. For Cam being cut, I think it was inevitable because, I mean, we know Mac Jones was drafted as a first-round quarterback for the Patriots. We know that you draft the first-round quarterback to be the franchise quarterback, right? And so I think at this point, we knew Cam wasn't the future of the Patriots. We can agree on that, right?
Clearly. Yeah, we can agree on that. But we're not about to sit here and act like Matt Jones is the second coming of Tom Brady.
No, that, if we talk, I didn't say no.
That. I ain't saying you said. No, I'm playing. I'm glad, man.
I mean, for them to draft him in the first round, the Patriots have him obviously very, very high. And I think they decided to take the route where, hey, we drafted this guy in the first round. Hey, he competed very well against Cam Newton. We might even feel like he beat Cam Newton. So we're going to start in week one. Like, why not? We giving him the keys to the franchise. Let's roll, you know? And so, you know, Cam, I think he would have been a team player about being, you know, the second string. But at the same time, we're talking about Cam Newton here. We're talking about a former MVP. We're talking about a guy that, you know, went on to led the Panthers to a Super Bowl. But I think a guy of that magnitude can't be he can't sit like he he's can, alpha. But I don't. Yeah, it wouldn't set the right tone for the team for him to be second string for the Patriots. Yeah. I think whatever Bill Belichick might say and whatever any other team might say this year regarding if a player is on the brink of getting cut and his vaccination status is definitely going to come into question, definitely because all the rules that the NFL has put in place at this point, as far as, you know, the different regulations, protocols and that nature, of course, him being or whatever stance he has about not getting vaccinated is going to come into play, whether a player, coach, staff member says it is or not, because it's just that big of a deal right now with everything they put in place. Yeah.
It's the nature of the beast.
So I don't know, bro. Like, as far as I was trying to see a team that he could go to, you had mentioned to me in a text about Washington, but Ron Rivera has been so adamant about getting his players vaccinated because at one point the Washington football team was so far down, you know, in the vaccination numbers that, you know, he had to say something about it. Go ahead, bro.
Pick me.
You, sir, in the back.
Yes, Deontay. Dane Busy from the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. Can you ask, just answer me one question. Yeah, I think he did. What team did Ron Rivera used to coach for by chance?
I know. He coached for the Panthers. Him and Cam Newton was together. Oh! I understand that. I don't think that's... I think that in this case, it doesn't matter because, like I'm saying, bro, this, like, Ron Rivera has been one of the main coaches, like, in the news as far as getting health professionals to come and talk to his players that were unsure about getting vaccinated. Like, he's been so, I mean, because, you know, he's a cancer survivor. So he is on the front line about how important this vaccination is. And so, I don't know where he stands. I don't think anybody knows where Cam stands about getting vaccinated now that he's been cut and, like, now that it's such a big thing, possibly. But until I don't know, bro. I just think it's going to be tough for him to land in a spot right now. I just don't see it. It could happen. I just can't see it in my mind right now. Like, as we're recording, he probably gets signed, but I just can't see it.
I got you. Well, I'm rooting for Cam. Hopefully he finds employment somewhere. But I won't hold my breath in the case that it doesn't happen. But we know the NFL is a very strange place. If anybody gets signed, it's probably going to be after, or anybody of that magnitude is going to be signed, it's probably going to be after week one or week two. And it'll probably be before the veteran minimum. So there's always that. But hopefully Cam, Mr. Superman himself, lands on his feet somewhere successfully. Yep. So
hopefully so.
Back
hopefully
to you, Deontay.
So. Yes, sir. Now it's time for...
What's that sound?
Shout out to Keith!
Our nerdy news segment brought to you by Keith. Thank you for the music, Keith.
Keith.
Episodes 3 and 4. That we could talk about episodes 3 and 4 now that we're recording on Wednesday, Dane. Episode 4 drop. I wonder if you could tell Dane where, or you could tell me and Dane where that's from, we will do something special for you. I don't know what it is. You got to tell us where that's
$15. We will cash app you $15.
Okay. You said it. $15. If you could tell us where that from, Dane, can you repeat it, or they just got to listen? Nope. They can rewind.
Look, they
can
rewind. They have to either rewind or have to watch the whole thing all over again.
Yes, so get these views up.
Yeah, $15 though. No cap.
Okay, episodes 3 and 4 of What If, man. Episode 3, I'll talk about a little bit first, was very, very interesting to see kind of talks about. It goes back to the beginning of the MCU as far as Iron Man 2, when he had that, you know, he was turning into a little gremlin in his neck, and they gave him a little antidote.
That was just a little heat rash, man.
Yeah.
Black Widow, heat rash, bro.
Getting a little antidote. But, you know, in our regular MCU, he was healing him. Yeah. And so in this one, he dies from this. Yeah. So basically,
did basically he die
episode
from
3.
Spoiler alert. Did he die from it, though? Or was he killed from it?
You know what I mean.
Oh.
He was killed by this. By something. We don't know. When we're watching it, we don't know what it is. So basically, all the Avengers that were a part of the Avengers initiative. So while Nick Fury is trying to get the team together to be the Avengers, somebody is killing them off one by one. And we later find out it's Hank Pym dressed up as Yellow Jacket. And he is upset that Janet Van Dyne, his daughter, died. Okay, go ahead, Dane.
Well, actually, Hank Pym, he was the Yellow Jacket in one of the series runs back in the day. So if you want to be technical, he wasn't dressed up as the Yellow Jacket. Hank Pym is and was the Yellow Jacket.
Was it correct if I say he's dressed up in the Yellow Jacket suit? How about that?
We'll go away with that one. Look, your nerdy card is up for further review. It's pending.
So, I know. Episode 3, somebody's killing off the Avengers. We find out later is Hank Pym. And with the help of Loki, Nick Fury helps defeat Hank Pym. And then we also kind of get a glimpse of what might be future Avengers. And at the end, he's kind of trying to figure out who should be the next Avengers. And we've already seen glimpses of Captain Carter in episode 1, T'Challa as Star-Lord in episode 2. So this kind of gives the kind of tease that he might go try to find them. And then episode 4, which just dropped today, was incredible. And I think episode 2, on the strength of T'Challa, really made that my favorite, bro. I'm still gonna give it some time to kind of figure out if I like episode 4 more than 2.
Gotta let it marinate
a little bit. But episode 4 is the Doctor Strange episode where he kind of, you know, fights against himself and a whole nother version of himself because he's trying to go back in time and save Christine, who died in this timeline. And I'll let you talk because I've talked enough about it. What'd you think of the episodes?
I thought they were dope. The concept, my favorite concept so far has been episode 3 with Nick Fury doing what Nick Fury does best. And that's 1, being resourceful, 2, always having a trick up his sleeve. There was no one, like, we know how smart he is, his intelligence, right? Just with him being, of course, the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. And the way that he moved in the MCU, sort of in the shadows. So seeing an episode that was primarily based on from his point of view was pretty cool, just to see how he put it all together. And now, come to think of it, the Avengers Initiative was something that was put together years in advance. So he's seeing his team, the tryouts, if you will, seeing that roster being ripped to shreds in real time. And in addition to that, as he's going along in the story, the wheel, the hamster wheel in his head is already turning, because boom, he's already, without even trying, he's already recruited Loki.
So but you think Loki's going to be an Avenger?
Well, no. The way that he recruited him to help him kill Yellowjack, and then of course it backfired with Loki becoming the leader of the free world. So we think,
mm-hmm. President Loki.
Yeah, I think we have more. I think there might be more to it, but I would love to see where that team leads if this is in fact another version of the Avengers Initiative. So I'm excited about that. Episode 4, I love Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is probably one of my most, not my most, it is for me at least, one of the most interesting characters in terms of the limitations that, or the, I get, what's the, unlimitations? No, that's not a word.
Talking about how his power set is so high?
Yeah, his not only his abilities are just so, they're everywhere, right? In terms of what mm-hmm. he's capable of doing because of the concept of him learning and just him being able to use spells and just different variations of wittiness that he's learned over the years of the course of his study, or centuries for that matter. Wink, wink. But the story itself, I was like, okay, how's there going to be a villain? And then of course, when we get to the spin, if you will, the twist, if you will, that he actually was the villain. Like he himself was a villain. Like when, the ancient one, she did her little thing, hit him with the spell and split him into two.
Right.
Like that was dope. Like the way that they built that up, it would have been nice. No, I'm not going to change that. I was going to say it would have been nice if we got that in two separate episodes. Like we got all this all the way up to, you know, him essentially not realizing that, him becoming self-aware. If that was a whole different episode, that would have been cool. But I like the way the pacing of it, the whole absorbing, you know, the enchanted monsters.
It's very dark, man.
A little creepy.
Yeah.
But I like it because if the reports are right, this new movie, The Multiverse of Madness. Wait, is it The Madness of Multiverse? Or Multiverse of Madness. It's one of them.
Multiverse of Madness.
Some with a Madness. Oh, some with a Multiverse, some with a Madness. If the reports are true, it's really going to be essentially a horror flick. So, in that, the transformation that he, you know, took upon with all them little mythical creatures getting absorbed in his body parts, that's stuff out of a horror story. So I don't know. I like the direction. I have no idea how that's going to unfold in terms of what that's going to be like, because it seems like that would be the end of that particular universe because of the way that it mm-hmm. ended. So,
right.
I don't know.
And I know we had a lot of talk about when this episode or when this series started, like how it was going to mm-hmm. connect to the MCU, or, you know, how, because, you know, there's always that connective tissue. And I think this was our first maybe kind of glimpse at it, because if we go back to what we talked about last week, or it dropped after we had recorded, which was the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer. Like
we know, Shelley. We know. Yeah.
Tap my own back.
All hail the great Negronomus.
Okay, so yeah, the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer dropped, and in that trailer we see Doctor Strange not reluctantly,
so we assume it's Doctor Strange,
exactly, doing this spell to help Peter, you know, clear his name and help people forget that, you know, he's not Spider-Man. And so this could kind of be a clue to, is this that Doctor Strange that we see at the end of episode 4 of What If? That is,
remember, Peter, careful
yeah,
what you
this
wish
guy
for.
we don't know, but maybe that's kind of a clue to you know, why Doctor Strange is acting so weird. It might not be Mephisto. It might be an evil version of Doctor Strange. So
just got to wait and see. It'd be Nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, man. But yeah, episode 4 in general visually was fantastic. It reminded me, like, the part where he was absorbing all those animals and creatures or whatever, it felt like one of those early 90s Disney cartoons that, you know, just had like the different animations and different things that were going on. Like, I guess it just threw me back to like in elementary school, we used to watch videos like for free time, and it would just be like weird
animation
Disney
and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it was just full of animation, which was a good thing. Like, it was great to see. And obviously, the twist it takes at the end with Evil Strange beating the regular Strange was kind of different. Definitely wasn't expecting that. And there's still 5 more episodes of this series to go, man. It's interesting kind of see where they're gonna. Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see or try to figure out where they're going to go next. I know eventually, well, from the trailer footage, you know how Marvel could be about trailers, but I think we're going to get some kind of team up with, you know, the characters we've met so far becoming the, you know, this version of the Avengers. Mm-hmm. We got T'Challa coming back in 3 episodes, Chadwick Boseman. So we know it's going to be interesting to kind of see how they pull it all together and what parts are going to be a part of the MCU as a whole. So, yeah.
Couldn't have said it better myself, my friend.
Yeah, man.
Couldn't have said
yeah,
it
bro.
Better myself.
Yeah. But episode 59, we are going to get out of here. But before we do, Dane, college football is back. Football is back. September is here. And yes, we are going to give our quick predictions on the Final Four, the playoff that we think is going to happen in college football this year. Do you want to just go 4-4, 1-1? How do you want to do this?
I'll go 4. I'll go first, my boy. I got you.
Okay.
I got you.
Shoot.
Alabama. Clemson. Oklahoma. And last but certainly not least, the Ohio State.
Raise your hand if you're surprised that Dane said Ohio State. Dane, go ahead.
I'm just being a realist here, you know. I'm living in reality, you know. I'm just putting it out there. What you got, Deontay?
I'm going to surprise you. I have 3 of those 4 teams that you have.
Oh, I know what team you left out.
I have Alabama. I have North Carolina winning the ACC over Clemson. Whoa. I think Sam Howell is going to surprise some people. He's going to be not even a dark horse, but I think he'll win the Heisman. He's not really a dark horse at this point. I think he wins the Heisman this year. And then I have Oklahoma, Ohio State. So I have Bama, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Ohio State. I think North Carolina is just going to be a very, very fun team to watch this year with Mac Brown, kind of having one of those Cinderella stories like he had at UT.
Okay. If I could push back, if I will.
Go ahead.
Just a little homework. Go ahead and look at that Clemson defensive line. Whenever you get a chance.
Okay.
If you're a drafting man, if you're looking to build your defense, specifically that defensive line, look at that Clemson front 7, specifically those edge rushers and those interior guys. And you get back to me about how you can get back to me if what you think about UNC winning that conference, cuz
yeah.
That's scary. And I'm not saying that to you know, shut you down or anything like that, but normally I'm specifically impressed with the edge rushers, the consistency of Leaf. At least the consistency of edge rushers and interior linemen that we have from Alabama, they're like a farm, but it's really hard to not see some of those guys, including a freshman from last year that started a number of games, had like 20 or so tackles from the interior of the defensive line, like 3 or 4 tackles for loss. I'm not going to say his name. I'm going to let you look him up, but you're going to know exactly who he is when you look him up. Look at that Clemson front 7, specifically those rushers on the D-line.
I would do that. As General Homeboy. Oh, let me get a General Homeboy drop. It's been too long.
Oh. Shout out to Keith!
For General Homeboy!
General Homeboy right there for you guys, and we are going to close that out on episode 59 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. 59!
Hey, who's the superlative, man? Who's the superlative? Huh?
I don't know.
Superlative?
Who's number 59? I don't know.
Who's 59 for the Bears?
I don't know any number 59s. Like top players. Anyway,
we're a sports podcast.
Episode 59 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. Make sure to give us 5 stars on Apple, a great review. Like this on YouTube as well. Subscribe if you haven't already. And we will be back for episode 60 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. We out.